Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Fantasy Football Fools podcast. We're back again, all three of us, for your Week 11 breakdown, talking about Week 12 coming up. My name's Jesse. You got Brandon and Eliseo here. How are you guys doing?
I'm back. That's all.
Just like my team, I'm back as well. Joe Burrow, welcome to the squad, my team captain.
Oh, how I got a lot to say about that. We can talk about it later on.
Can't wait. From last to into the playoffs, oh, it's a great time to be me.
I'm sure we're going to talk about a bunch. Eliseo's been out. He's back. And, the whole Burrow mix-up, we'll get into that. But first, let's talk about those guys that got hurt.
Oh, son of a... That's going to leave a mark.
Not a lot of injuries this week. It was actually a pretty quiet week, which means, we'll see what's coming next week. But we got Gabe Davis with a meniscus tear. He is out for the season. Anybody playing Gabe Davis?
I hope not. You got Mac Jones there as the quarterback. If you're playing Gabe Davis, you're already in a lot of trouble. So hopefully that doesn't affect you whatsoever.
Darnell Mooney hamstring did not return. Did he walk to the was he taken in?
I don't know, but I saw something today that they said not too serious. So I don't know what that means with hamstrings. We've seen, guys miss 4 weeks. So maybe he misses a week or two. They're on bye this week, so that certainly helps. So maybe we'll look for a week 13 return if it's not too bad.
And then Alexander Mattison, ankle, and Zamir White, quad. Who is the third string running back for the Raiders? I have no idea.
Amir Abdullah.
Yes. I forgot.
Abdullah Ablamgada.
Abdullah, I don't want him. the Raiders are currently power ranked 31st out of 32 teams. So you don't want too many people from that team. That was it. Any other? There was nobody on the sideline that got hurt. It was a pretty quiet injury week.
It's kind of what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, that they're just, fingers crossed. There hasn't been a lot of running back injuries like we normally see. McCaffrey and Pacheco, that's about it. Other than that, no big injuries. A lot of receiver injuries, but it feels lighter than usual for injuries. So I don't know if we're in for quite a few down the home stretch here, but it hasn't been very many.
Or if we're just going to roll with a actual easier season overall when it comes to running backs. All right, let's talk about these guys. These guys were your fantasy tops this week.
I see things are still the same. All right.
Oh, wow.
Super delayed right there. All right, who do we got for quarterback? Your number one quarterback of the week. 4 touchdowns, 412 yards, 46 fantasy points, Jared Goff. Detroit destroyed Jacksonville 52-6. I'm surprised they didn't score more, because I think like 30 some of that was in the first quarter. I know I have Dave Montgomery, and he had 2 touchdowns in the first half alone.
Yeah, first 7 possessions, Detroit scored. Goff coming off of the 5 interception game last week. So a big bounce back game for him. You certainly like to see that in a great matchup against the Jaguars.
You got Bo Nix coming in second. Yeah, Bo Nix, 36 fantasy points, 307 yards, 4 touchdowns as well. He's starting to show that he has what it takes. This is what we talked about, rookies coming out later in the season.
Yeah, he's actually the quarterback 7 overall right now, which is crazy high for a guy who probably wasn't drafted in many fantasy leagues, but he's become a viable option that you can certainly start the rest of the way. Got another good matchup this week against the Raiders. So, Bo Nix, certainly somebody that you weren't expecting to get much production out of, but he's been very, very solid.
Matthew Stafford, 3rd place, 35 fantasy points, 295 yards. Again, 4 touchdowns. Playing New England over there, which is a middle-of-the-road matchup, but not for him.
Are we doing this podcast with just 2 of us again, or do we have a third member? It's very quiet over there.
Yeah, he's
No, you guys go ahead.
Yeah.
Trying to see his way back in.
Yeah. I'm feeling it out again. You know, I gotta. Yeah.
Yeah. He's acting like an intern. You know, he's just kind of like learning the ropes and going through it. But yeah, Matthew Stafford, 4 touchdowns, looked great. Coupled to Nacua, had a long one to Cooper Kupp. Again, a good bounce back for him after not throwing any touchdowns the prior week. So big bounce back and a good matchup there. And again, something you'd like to see with Sean McVay and that Rams offense operating fully healthy at this point.
I feel like LSAO will want to talk about at least one of these next two guys. Coming in fourth, number four, I played against him this week, but not in the quarterback position. Taysom Hill got you 138 yards, not passing. He had 18 yards passing, 138 yards rushing, and 3 rushing touchdowns, and he was your quarterback four.
Do you mean your tight end?
Nope. He was your quarterback four this week, if you're looking at the quarterback rankings in Yahoo.
He even threw an interception, I think, which was
yeah, he did, too. Yeah. So this was great because I am a Alvin Kamara owner, and Alvin Kamara, I don't know, I think he had like 8 points or something, but Taysom Hill went off, and most of it was like rushing, right? He got like 3 rushing touchdowns. You couldn't give one to Kamara? All right, cool. I lost my matchup this week by 10 points because Kirk Cousins got me 1 point, which was awesome. He scored me 1 point. If he had scored 50, this is, Kirk Cousins is this year's, what's his name?
Justin Herbert.
Justin Herbert. Yeah. For me.
Yeah, so you love like quarterbacks.
Yeah. I don't know what my thing is with quarterbacks. I've had a bad year, obviously. Some of it was my own doing apparently now at this point. Before it wasn't, but now it was. And Brandon is reaping the benefits of that.
Well, hold that thought. Because we're going to talk about the 5th-ranked quarterback this week.
Well, right? Well, let me just finish. Is like the why – it's one of those weeks Taysom Hill always has, you know, something like that. But I don't think it's ever been this crazy, you know. And I also had the bad luck with my tight ends this week. I needed a tight end this week. And I thought about him. And my options were him or Dawson Knox. And I went with Knox thinking like, okay, Buffalo, like they're shorthanded. They're going to need to throw the ball. And he's a good red zone target and whatever. So I went with him. Wrong choice. Every choice I've made in the last couple of weeks has been the wrong choice. Continue.
Not picking up Taysom Hill, not your worst choice in the last 3 weeks.
Though. No, not the worst choice, but one of the many.
It might be because you haven't been on the Fantasy Football Fools podcast lately, so you're not.
I've been a little distracted. Yeah, I've been a little distracted the past few weeks. I've been distracted, so maybe, probably, yeah.
So if you haven't been paying attention, the number 5 quarterback. This week, 32 fantasy points. This is the end of the 30-point club for quarterbacks this week. 356 yards passing, not rushing. 3 touchdowns, Joe Burrow. And yes, LSAO dropped Joe Burrow. And Brandon picked up Joe Burrow.
In my defense, let me start, and then you can – because I know you're gonna shit on me, but let me say what I have to say. So – I drafted Joe Burrow. Like, I drafted him. He was going to be my guy, you know. I had complete faith in him, even with his slow start, because I know they always do. But I had Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase, both. I was like, that's my 1-2 punch. Slow start, as per usual, but, you know, you're used to that. Non-PPR scores, week 1, 4 points. I was like, okay, slow start. I know what I got myself into, but he's going to be okay. Week 2, 17 points. Better, but still not what you expect from your like QB1. It's like, all right, that's not great. Week 3, 29 points. And I'm like, all right, here we go. 29 points. That's good. Week 4, 20 points. Okay, back to like average, but you know, I'm a little disappointed because I'm like, okay, where are we going with this? And the team was not doing well at all either. So I'm like, okay, is this going to continue? He's being average, like, you know, and I was losing some close games. You know, I was like, nah, I need somebody who's going to do better. And there was plenty of quarterbacks who were doing better at this point. So, okay, 20 points. Week 5, 41 points. And I'm like, there we go. That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I need. And then after that, 15 points. Back to like, what's going on? And I'm like, okay, he's getting better. That was just a bad week. I give him another week, 16 points. Okay, awful. And I also was losing games again, you know? And I'm like, okay, one more try. He's got a matchup against Cleveland. Philly, because he was 15, 16. And then against Philly, week 8, 13 points. He was going in the wrong direction. After he had that great 41-point game, 15, 16, 13. I'm like going in the wrong direction, and I was like, I've had it with him. He's costing me games. He's costing me a lot of points. It's not going to get better. I thought he was like in the, okay, this is just what they, this is what the team is. Whether they, the team wins or loses, he's just, he's turned into like, who else is like this? Like a really good quarterback who's not a good fantasy quarterback, you know, like one of those guys. So I drop him because I'm like, okay, 3 weeks of the highest points being 16. I can't take this anymore. So I dropped him. I dropped him after week 8. Brandon picked him up. And he left him on his bench that week, that first week, and he, against Vegas. And I knew, I was like, Vegas, but you know what? Vegas is so terrible, they're probably going to run the ball, and he's not going to throw him. He might throw a little bit, but I expected another 15, 16-point performance out of him. Week 9 against Las Vegas, 38 points. Totally went off on Brandon's bench. Did you win that week?
I'll check right now while you keep talking. What week?
So, week 9. So I don't know. It doesn't matter. But he was on Brandon's bench with 38 points. And I'm like, okay, well, it was against Vegas. Like, so, okay, that's expected.
I did win that week.
Okay, so you didn't even need him. And I was like, okay, well, that it was against Vegas. So I thought they were going to run the ball a lot. He went apeshit. Okay, whatever. Week 10, Brandon actually plays him against me. And it's the week where he went crazy. It's 42 points. Another week, back-to-back weeks where he goes crazy. I had Jamar Chase who scored, I don't know, like 45 or 46 points that week. 48 points that week to Joe Burrow's 42. And I lost. Even though I had Jamar Chase, I'm pretty sure that like 99% of people who had Jamar Chase that week won their matchup. And I lost because I was playing against Joe Burrow, who was now on Brandon's team. Lucky me. So I'm like, okay, well, that hurt. That sucks. And now week 11. Week 11, Joe Burrow, 32 points. So he goes from 15, 16, and 13 points to 38, 42, and 32 points. And I'm pretty sure, I got to look back, but at least two of the three, if not all three of those matchups, I would have won if I had just kept Joe Burrow. But I was so frustrated with him, and I was so done with him that I was like, I don't even care. I'm going to pick up somebody else, and they're going to do just as good as him. I didn't realize he was going to like zoom out to like, you know, like full send for 3 weeks in a row. And that's where I'm at with Joe Burrow. So lucky me and even luckier Brandon. That's where I'm at with Joe Burrow. Fuck Joe Burrow.
I've already gotten you a Justin Herbert t-shirt jersey. Maybe I'll Joe Burrow one. Send it to your house this week.
You know, what's funny is when I was watching, what was like the first half of that game, he was at like,
He was at like
2 points or something, right? And Brandon had just sent me this awful trade, you know, this trade request. Awful trade. He was trying to pick my pocket. And I was like, no, you already got Joe Burrow. I'm not going to give you another good player. He sent me I have two tight ends. One of them's on bye. The other one's hurt. And they're like considered some of the best tight ends. He tries to send me a tight end and somebody else. I was like, I don't need another tight end. And then he texts me, you need a tight end. Oh, good luck, whatever. And I'm like, I'm not going to trade for a third tight end when I need him for 1 week. And sure as shit, I know it was a bullshit trade because right after I denied it, he dropped that tight end. I was waiting. If Joe Burrow continued to suck and you lost, I was waiting because the tight end that he tried to trade me was Jonnu Smith. And he actually went off this week.
No, it wasn't Johnny Smith. It was David Njoku.
Yeah. Njoku. Oh, okay. Never mind. I thought it was Smith. And Smith went off this week, and I was going to make fun of him because he had dropped it, but I guess never mind. Oh, that's even worse because he tried to give me Calvin Ridley, who scored like 3 points, and then Njoku, who scored what? Two? Right, I don't know. Like nothing.
Brandon, you want a rebuttal real quick? It was a long rant.
Which way to start? Yeah. First of all, the trade wasn't a bad trade. I offered you, Calvin Ridley and Njoku for Malik Nabers, who's been terrible since week 3. So a slight downgrade in receiver for Ridley, who's been very good the last 3 weeks, and a tight end to fill in for your missing tight end. Not a bad trade, as much as you make it out to be. And then, so yeah, promptly when Joe Burrow, by the way, I've been playing quarterback roulette all season since I drafted Anthony Richardson, terrible, and I drafted Kyler Murray, who has been up and down. So I've been playing, you know, the carousel. We've been talking about it on here. So I've been bouncing through guys. And so when you dropped Joe Burrow, I picked him up for that matchup against Baltimore because he had dominated him his entire career. The one 40-point game you had in week 3 or 4 was against Baltimore. So I'm picking him up strictly for that matchup. I'm about a week ahead. I had Darnold for week 9 where I sat him on the bench, and then I had Burrow lined up, and now he's on fire, so I have to play him every week. So that was, you know, I picked him up strictly for that matchup because that's what I've been doing all season. So that's why I picked him up. But then, yeah, yesterday after he came out in the third quarter and threw 3 touchdowns, just promptly sent you a text that just said my weekly thank you for Joe Burrow with a nice heart emoji on there, because yeah, it feels great. And I went and looked at your matchup, and yeah, I see 1 point in a Cousins. Yeah, you certainly could have used him. So maybe you could have kept him on the bench, you know, and like dropped somebody else that was less valuable. Like, I don't know, you just dropped Ray Davis, I think, this week. Like, probably could have kept Joe Burrow in place of him. But hey, here we are. I've gone from last place to now I think I'll be in third after today. My team's on fire and I'm feeling really good.
But nobody expected Kirk Cousins to score 1 point against Denver either, you know? Like, yeah. that's just bad luck, you know?
But Denver's like a really good defense. Like,
yeah, but 1 point, but not 1 point against like a division leader, like not 1 point.
My only piece is that I said this on the podcast last week is that you know, you said he's done 16 points or whatever. I have CJ Stroud, who's scored more than 16 points like 3 times this whole season. I pick up Aaron Rodgers and you know, he got 16 points this week. I would have traded you for Joe Burrow because I need a quarterback and I should be playing quarterback roulette. I should be following Brandon's, and I'm going to have to after this week because, I mean, 9 points from CJ Stroud. Let me tell you right now, quarterbacks that would have scored more for me this week include Geno Smith, Will Levis, Caleb Williams, Cooper Rush.
Yeah, Drake anybody.
May. Yeah, basically anybody.
Yeah, so, anybody. Same as me. Anybody.
Yeah. So
I can't wait for my new Kirk Cousins t-shirt. At the end of the season.
All in all, bad move, dropping Joe Burrow. Let's move on to running backs, because that was or wide receivers. But that was a fun little rant there. All right, number one wide receiver of the week, Amon-Ra St. Brown, 29 fantasy points, -4 yards rushing, but 161 yards receiving. Did he have a touchdown? I don't see it. Two touchdowns.
Of them, yeah.
Number two, Cooper Rush, 23 fantasy points, 106 yards. Sorry, Cooper Kupp, yes. T. Higgins, 21 fantasy points, 141 yards and a touchdown. Jerry Jeudy, not owned in our league, 142 yards and a touchdown. And then there you go, Ja'Marr Chase, number five. 19 fantasy points, 75 yards.
By the way, that last drop, like when he was going down and he just, like it was like that was a touchdown. And then on another play where Joe Burrow like didn't even see him. I think he went to.
He had him wide open twice.
And I'm like, that would have saved my week this week, and just couldn't get it done, man. It's just bad luck.
Not to get back on the Burrow ramp, but also some of those weeks he was having lower scores. Again, T. Higgins was out. We saw T. Higgins, what he does this week was outstanding. Yeah. So, I mean, they're going to double team Ja'Marr Chase, no problem. They're going to go to T. Higgins. So part of that hamstring injury certainly hurt Burrow's production. But if both of those guys are there, yeah, he has great weapons.
On to running backs. We have two running backs in the 30-point club. Joe Mixon, 33 fantasy points, 109 yards, and 3 touchdowns. That game just ended, and I won my fantasy matchup. Thank goodness, because I got a long ways to climb up. Saquon Barkley, second place, 32 fantasy points, 146 yards, 2 touchdowns. And then the next three should be up there. Breece Hall, David Montgomery, Josh Jacobs, all rounding up the top five for the week. Tight ends. The tight end wasteland. Well, we talked about it. He was the number 5 quarterback and the number 1 tight end, Taysom Hill, the only person who has a quarterback tight end designation in Yahoo still to this day. Jonnu Smith, you talked about him, number 2, 23 fantasy points, 101 yards, and 2 touchdowns for Jonnu. Brock Bowers taking the 3rd place, 126 yards and a touchdown. Will Disley, we'll talk about him later, number 4, and Noah Gray, number 5. That's right, Noah Gray, not Travis Kelce, has the number 5 spot with 23 yards and 2 touchdowns.
You know what? I actually played him in Daily Fantasy, and thanks to that, I got a little bit of money. So not a lot, but he got me some
Noah
money.
Noah Gray?
So, yeah, so I made one right call this week.
I was just telling Brandon, I was 2 players and just a couple of yards away from some money. Actually, 1 player and a couple of yards away. There's another one. I almost won 1,000, but almost doesn't count unless you're playing horseshoes and hand grenades. Or hand grenades. Horseshoes and hand grenades. That's a good name for a game.
You kickers. Can't lose.
Who's the kicker of the week? Chris Boswell from the Pittsburgh Steelers, 24 fantasy points for you this week. He did a good job.
Yeah, and then, was the second game Pittsburgh has won this year without scoring a touchdown, just by Boswell field goals.
Actually, yeah, he scored 24 fantasy points, and Pittsburgh scored 18 points total as a team. So
yeah, unbelievable.
And the defense of the week, Houston, just finished the game with 23 fantasy points. They had a touchdown, which helped that as well. 5 sacks, an interception, a fumble recovery, 4 fourth down stops, beating the Dallas Cowboys, the dismal Dallas Cowboys.
That's so embarrassing. The good thing about them being so terrible right now is that it's before Black Friday for all the fans, you know?
So this is for them, for their season, and this is also for the bad fantasy players this week.
You blew it!
On a delay here, Aaron Jones, 3 fantasy points. Debo Samuel, 2 fantasy points. This is standard format, not PPR. Devontae Smith, 2 fantasy points. How did Kyle Pitts do? 0 fantasy points. Tyler Lockett, 1. Kirk Cousins, we talked about it, 1 point. Travis Kelce, 0. Garrett Wilson, Brandon, 1 fantasy point. Terry McLaurin, 1. Mark Andrews, 2. Those guys did not do you any favors this week.
It's Aaron Rodgers' fault for Garrett Wilson.
I was like, when are we going to talk about Aaron Rodgers? I know we already talked about quarterbacks, but that's fun.
Hey, Aaron Rodgers got me 16 points on my bench, which is better than my 9 from CJ Stroud.
Whose fault is it now in New York? The coach is gone. He already blamed the media. Did you see that interview? It was the last week or the week before. Somebody asked him a question, like, you know, and he's like, well, we've got to stop listening to you guys, first of all. Like, how do you – I forgot what the question was, but he basically said – But yeah, I forgot what they asked him. Basically, like, how do you turn this around, or how do you tell your guys, like, hey, there's still a chance or whatever? He's like, well, number one is we got to stop. We stop listening to you guys. Basically saying, like, just because you're saying we're bad, you know, doesn't mean we're going to believe we're bad. So he blamed the coach. He's blamed other players. He's blamed the media. What now, Rodgers? Right. Now what?
Coach fired. Yeah. Do you think he finishes the season? Like, if they're out of playoff contention, do you think he still plays?
I don't know. My first, you think, like, his ego would say yes, but at the same time, because he doesn't want to be seen as a failure, you know? But, I mean, he already is. But, like, in his mind, is he, like, more of a failure if he just quits or if he finishes?
Well, I don't even
or if he's just like watching out for himself, like, no, I got to be healthy for next season.
I don't even know if he has the option. I mean, if the coach takes him out, the coach takes him out. But
Well, he is the coach at this point.
I don't I don't think so. I mean, he's going to play for a while longer. It has to be definitive that there's no chance at all whatsoever. But
I think we're there.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like he said, they still want to try to get some life into the team first, and I don't know. It's a definitely a shit show over there.
Yeah, so they're 3-8. Even if they won the last six games to go to 9-8, that's not a guarantee to get. There's a possibility 9 wins gets you in. If they lose one more, they're certainly out of it. But yeah, I kind of have a feeling we see like an injury and quotes injury pop up for him.
Yeah,
just as like a pride thing. But it can't come soon enough. I want Tyrod Taylor out there. Rodgers just doesn't want to get hit, and he rushes every throw. He doesn't see things through. He's changing everything at the line, so it's really hurting the offense. And I'd love to see Tyrod Taylor, a guy who can extend plays, can make things happen. I saw some crazy numbers too, and I can't remember exactly what they were, but it was basically comparing Rodgers to Zach Wilson to Sam Darnold when he was first there as a Jet. And Rodgers is the worst of the three. And it's not
even
close.
So. I saw it. Yeah, I saw that stat, and I was like, wow, that's so embarrassing for him. Yeah.
Right. So I'm just hoping that they can be done with that. Fake an injury, be done. Let's throw Tyrod out there and kind of see what happens.
Do you think that he'll be back with the Jets again next year?
I don't think so. So I was reading something about his contract. I don't think it's guaranteed for next year. There might be some dead cap money that they got to absorb, but you can't like look at what you've seen this year and say, yeah, I want to run that back next year. So again, I think a lot of it will depend on who they bring in as a coach. And there's also weird things like the owner of the team is probably going to go serve as like the ambassador in London for Trump, because he did last time on his term, Woody Johnson, the owner. So there's, and then his brother takes over. It's just, there's a lot of like weird things that happen for the Jets. So I don't know. Again, I'm curious who their coach is, but I'd imagine they probably go in a different direction because it's just not working.
Yeah. And to think like Devontae Adams could have gone to like the Bills or something, you know, but he decided to go with his homie and look where he's at now.
Yeah. Failing just like everybody else they brought over.
Yeah.
He wanted to win. Well, that's not happening. And you know what? The Jets defense has actually taken a step back too. Now with Jeff Ulbridge having to be the head coach and do everything. I don't think that's helped them either. So.
But it's like that team isn't far away either, right? Like they have good skill players. They have a good defense. Like if you add like a competent quarterback, like, I don't know, like if Cousins went there instead of Atlanta or something, like that's a good team, right? They're not that far away. So I'm curious, what coach comes in and then what quarterback they bring in also.
All right. Well, I was going to talk a little bit about real quick about the NFL power rankings here. So who do you guys think is in number one? Because there's been a shift. It's no longer the Kansas City Chiefs. Who do you think
is
number one? Detroit Lions.
Detroit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lions and,
number one spot. Number two spot. Who do you think's in number two right now?
Probably Buffalo.
I would say Buffalo. Yeah. I would say Buffalo.
Buffalo's number two. Number three.
Probably Kansas City.
Kansas City's number three. All right. You're 3-3. Who's number four?
I would still,
I would say Philly.
I would still say they've dropped. I feel like I shouldn't say this, but I would still say Baltimore.
Number four is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
See, I knew that that's what the answer was going to be, but I don't see it, man.
Yeah,
but
I don't trust them.
Yeah.
Not with Russ.
It is weird, but they are looking good. If they can keep it up, then we'll see. But they're 8-2 right now. Number five, Philadelphia Eagles. Number six, who's number six?
Chargers.
I'll say, you got a guess?
Oh my God. San Fran?
Minnesota Vikings, number six.
Oh, I forgot about them.
They're 8-2 currently. I'm just going to go down the list. Number seven, Green Bay Packers, 7-3. Number eight, Baltimore Ravens. They dropped a little bit. I think they're inconsistent, is what it is. They're up and down. And then nine, Washington Commanders. and 10, the Los Angeles Chargers. So interesting top 10 kind of moving a little bit there. So we'll see how that plays out. There's still a lot of season to go.
I don't know how Pittsburgh doing it, honestly. Like, I don't know how they pulled off this week either. Like, it's
right. They held down Baltimore. Yeah.
Yeah. They have a great defense. I think the defense really helps them. And then their offense does just enough. I mean, Russ is cooking, you know?
I don't think he's cooking, but I saw a funny video that somebody put together. It was like a meme video, and it was him scrambling out of like an almost sack. And it was like, this is how you know Russ is back. And he did a really good job getting out of like a couple of sacks. He like ran around some people and stuff. And then he threw a pick in the end zone. So it looked really good. And then he threw and you're like, oh my God, is that, cause I didn't see that, you know, on Sunday. And so, and so when he threw it, I'm like, oh my God, did that actually happen? And then I saw that it was an interception in the end zone. I'm like, yeah, he is back. He's still Russ, man. I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
I just don't think their offense is high powered enough to take on one of those big teams. They have a really good defense, but if they play someone like Detroit, who scores on everybody, then it's going to be tough.
Yeah, and it helped too. Justin Tucker missed a couple field goals this week, and they got some breaks, but yeah, they've been good defensively. But yeah, I agree. I can't see them scoring 30 to beat somebody.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into the matchups of last week. So before last week, I was way back in the back, 21 and 24, Brandon 25 and 20, and Eliseo 26 and 19 in the number one spot.
You know, I actually hadn't been keeping up, so I wasn't even sure where I was at.
Yeah, all right. Sure, you bet. Yeah, you went 5-0. I think, was it last week?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, you went 5-0 last week. So well done. Let's see what happened. 2 weeks ago you went 5-0. Let's see what happened last week. First game was Washington at Philadelphia. Philly was favored by 3.5 points. Brandon and myself took Washington. Eliseo, you said Philly's going to do it. They're going to cover. And they sure did. It was 26-18. And so Eliseo gets the point. Next game was Baltimore at Pittsburgh. Baltimore by 3.5. Sorry, this thing's like on two different. There we go. Okay. Pittsburgh was picked by me and Brandon. Eliseo, you said Baltimore is going to win. You picked the favored team 2 times in a row, but they did not.
Field goals, man.
Pittsburgh won. Me and Brandon get the point. Next game was Seattle at San Francisco. San Francisco favored by 6.5 points. And Eliseo, you yet again picked the favored team, San Francisco. Brandon followed suit. And I said, Seattle's going to do it. And they did. They actually beat them. So I get the point. Kansas City at Buffalo was next. Buffalo favored by 2.5 points, even though Kansas City was 9-0. Me and Brandon said Kansas City's going to continue and they're going to be 10-0. Eliseo, you said Buffalo is going to do it. And they did it. They defeated the undefeated. You get the point.
Happy to take that loss if it means the Chiefs are going to lose.
Yeah.
Score was 30-21. And then finally, Cincinnati at the Chargers. Chargers were favored by 1.5 points. You both picked Cincinnati to win. You said it's a must-win game for them. And I picked Chargers. And the Chargers beat them 34-27. I get the point. All in all, that means that Brandon, not so good of a week this week. You were 1-4. Eliseo.
But he's got Burrow, so it's all right.
That's right. My boy Burrow. The donkey.
You were 2-3, Eliseo. And I was 3-2, catching up. So I'm still in last, 24-26. Brandon, you're 26-24. Eliseo, you're still in first, 28-22. So we're all real close, two games apart. Let's pick the games for this week. First game, there was not a lot of great games this week. A lot of games were really good teams playing not so good teams, but the spread wasn't that great. And, you know, it was hard to choose some teams. So the first team I chose does have a big differential in their record. Pittsburgh at Cleveland. Pittsburgh is 8-2. Cleveland is 2-8. But Pittsburgh is only favored by 3.5 points. This may be the lowest over-under I've seen at 35.5. And I guess I'll start it off. I don't know what – Vegas always knows something. And I don't understand why they think Cleveland is going to get so close to Pittsburgh. I guess because it's a low-scoring game and anything's possible. It's a defensive battle. I still think that Pittsburgh is much better than Cleveland, and they're going to be able to – gosh, I hope it's not super close. The problem is the low-scoring game, it could be very close, but I'm going to take Pittsburgh to win by more than 4.
You or me?
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, this is an ugly game. Again, the spread probably should be more – Cleveland at home, they have Jameis Winston. I just can't trust him. I think he's going to throw a couple balls to that vaunted Pittsburgh defense. So I don't love it, but give me Pittsburgh -3.5.
I don't really have any reason for this, but I'm feeling Cleveland's covering. I don't think they're win, but I think they cover. I don't know why. It's just one of those crazy games, you know? And I'm just gonna wing it. I'm going to go with Cleveland.
All right, next up is San Francisco at Green Bay. San Francisco is 5-5. Rough season for them. Green Bay 7-3. Do you feel the love? Green Bay favored by 2.5 points, 47.5 over under. Brandon?
Yeah, this one's tough. This would be considered a must-win, I think, for San Francisco. 5-5. They're technically last place right now in the NFC West with some tiebreakers. So going on the road, going to Green Bay, who didn't look great this week, got a lucky win against Chicago thanks to a blocked field goal. Yeah, I'm going to say this continues to be the season from hell for the Niners. So I'll take Green Bay -2.5 here.
I'm going to do the opposite. I think it is a must-win for San Francisco, and I think they have to, like, wake up and kind of start. I know they haven't been the team that we all expected, but they got to get closer at least, you know? So I think it's a must-win for them, definitely, and I think they pull it off. So I'll take San Francisco.
Ooh, tiebreaker here. You know, I don't know what it is about San Francisco. I mean, they've had a lot of injuries and everything, but I think they're starting to get healthier, but they're still not looking that great. There's something off with them, and maybe they correct it. But I think Green Bay is going to win by 3 points, and they're 2.5 is the spread, so I'm going to take Green Bay. Arizona at Seattle is the next up. Arizona is 6-4. Seattle is 5-5. This is a division matchup, right? Arizona favored by 1 point. Basically, you're picking who's going to win this game. 47.5 over under. Eliseo, you're up.
I haven't liked Seattle all season. Like, they just, every time I see, oh, Seattle against whoever, I'm always going against Seattle. Like, I haven't trusted them. They haven't been, like, I just don't see them as very good, even when other people did at the beginning. And then they started kind of falling off. And, you know, but kind of like the Cleveland thing from a couple picks ago, I think I have to go with Seattle. They've, especially with such a close game. I normally don't like picking Seattle, but I got a feeling for Seattle this week. Just that's all. Nothing for no particular reason.
I've liked Seattle probably more than I should. I'm interested to see the running games in this. I think there's going to be a lot of yardage on the ground. I don't think it's going to cover the 47.5 over. Man, this is tough. I want to pick Seattle, but I'm going to take Arizona. I just feel like they're gonna win this game.
All right, so I'm the tiebreaker here. Yeah, it's a good game. A lot of division on the line here. Certainly, must win game in the NFC West for both. I'm going to just take the home team and take Seattle at home, getting the point. Again, don't really have a feel either way, so I'll take the home team.
All right, next up, Philly at the Los Angeles Rams. Philadelphia's 8-2. The Rams are 5-5. Philly is favored by 3 points. Remember, three is a win or a loss. Over and under of 50.5 points. And am I starting this one? I'm starting this one. All right. It's in Los Angeles. Philly is the much better team, I think, here. Rams have been looking better. But I don't think that they're going to be anywhere close to that. I think Philly is going to cover the 3 points and they're going to win.
Okay. Yeah, Philly, much better record. Rams have been playing a little bit better since the last few weeks. I just think Rams at home, I think this is a Sunday night football game too, should be a good one. I think Sean McVay is 1,000 times better coach than Nick Sirianni for the Eagles, so I think he does something stupid to cost his team the game. I think the Rams find a way to pull it out. So give me the Rams at home plus the 3.
Yeah, the Eagles have been – I mean, they have Barkley, who's, you know, hurtling people backwards and stuff. So they're really good, obviously. But there's been something missing from them. You know, they haven't been they're still good, but they haven't been what we're used to. And on the other end, the Rams got healthy, and they're trending up. It's like the opposite, you know? And, yeah, at home, I also take the Rams. I think they win the game. I think they surprise Philly.
All right. And then finally, we have Baltimore at the Los Angeles Chargers. Baltimore 7-4, and the Chargers are 7-3. Who saw that coming? A lot of people did, actually. It looks like every team in that division is doing pretty well except for the Raiders. What else is new? Baltimore is favored by 3 points in this one, and also an over and under of 50.5. Brandon?
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one. We got the Harbaugh versus Harbaugh game. So, you know, that'll be fun. Yeah, this looks like it's going to be a close game. They both kind of play similar styles. They want to run the football, but they can certainly air it out with their quarterbacks if they need to. Chargers have a much better defense. We've seen teams throw all over Baltimore. So I'm going to take the Chargers at home in what should be a really close game. But yeah, take the Chargers and the points.
What's the points again?
3 for Baltimore.
It's really close. I do like the Chargers, and they've been playing really well, but I think Baltimore just lost, and I don't think they're going to lose again. I don't think they're going to lose back-to-back, so give me Baltimore.
I think this game could go either way. I do think the Chargers have something going. I mean, so does Baltimore. They're both really good teams. Like Brandon did earlier, I'm just going to take the home team here. I'm going to go with the Chargers and take the points. And we'll see how that pans out next week. Hopefully I can make up some ground and catch you guys.
And probably not, though.
I mean, that's it. We just have time for one more thing, guys. You can come on to the wall. All right, balls to the wall. Everyone's favorite segment where we tell you the players that are going to go crazy. They're going to go off. They're going to get you some great fantasy points in your league. And let's see how we did last week. I kind of like last week. All right, so I had Quentin Johnston. I said he was going to do 93 yards and 2 touchdowns because that Chargers offense is rolling, right? He only did 48 yards, and he did not get 2, but he got you 1 touchdown. That's decent, right? And I think there's going to be a trend you'll see here. Brandon, you said Will Disley is going to have 6. Actually, I don't have the catches on here. Do you know how many catches he had?
Yeah.
You say he's going to do 6 catches for 85 yards and a touchdown. He had how many catches?
4.
4 catches for 80 yards and a touchdown. That was very, very close. Awesome job there with picking the Disley.
2% owned.
That's two players.
LSU could have used him in his tight end spot. Yeah.
I probably would have. Yeah, I would have won.
That's 2 players with a touchdown this week. Let's see if LSU can match that. LSU, you said Cam Akers is going to do 106 yards and a touchdown. He did 36 yards and a touchdown. I think this is the first week we all hit a touchdown, so I think that's a win. So we're doing something kind of right, especially Brandon this past week. So awesome job there. All right, let's see who we got for our balls to the wall this week, week 12. Who's going to help you win your fantasy matchup? I can start it. So this guy is 4% owned. He actually had a very big game this past week, so he's probably going to be picked up by a lot of people. I almost picked him up. I thought about it previous to this past week, but the people on my bench are doing pretty well. He plays Houston.
Maybe you should play the people on your bench since you've been losing every week.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. He plays Houston, who gives up the 6th most points to wide receivers. He is a wide receiver. And 5 of the last 6 games, he's scored a touchdown. 117 yards and a touchdown this past week. And I think he's going to do 132 yards and 2 touchdowns. I'm calling it. It is Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. He's going to have another big week this week. 4% owned. You guys listening to this on Tuesday, you still have time to put him a waiver claim in. Brandon, who you got?
Yeah, this week I'm going to go with a guy who's probably pretty owned. I think he looks about 72% owned, but I don't think he started in very many lineups. I think he's been riding people's bench. They've been waiting for a breakout performance. And, well, this week, that's what we have for you, is a breakout performance for this rookie wide receiver. So, going for 6 catches, 140 yards, and 1 touchdown. And that touchdown will be 50-plus yards. It'll be a long touchdown. Give me Kansas City wide receiver Xavier Worthy against the Carolina Panthers. 50-plus yard touchdown, 6 catches, 140 yards. Breakout performance.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right.
That was a good one. I like it. We talked about the Ravens and Bengals game a lot. And we also talked about the Chargers a lot and how well they're doing. Well, now we have the Ravens and the Chargers. And I think it's going to be a great game. I think it's going to be similar to the Cincinnati and whoever they played. Yeah, it's going to be a good game. It's going to be high scoring. I think it's going to be really exciting. And now I'm going to go with a guy that I think Jesse was a week early on. And I wasn't here last week, so I didn't know that you picked him. But I'm taking him this week. And it is the Chargers wide receiver, Quentin Johnston. And I think he's going to do better than this past week. He's going to go for Justin likes to spread the ball around a lot. So the yards aren't going to be all like crazy. I think he's going to do, let's say, 78 yards, but 2 touchdowns.
All right. Let's see if you can hit on him. Maybe Brandon will pick him next week. All right, guys. This is going into week 12. Make sure you guys are checking. The trade deadlines are over in most formats. So make sure you guys are checking for those playoff weeks. You're checking for those bye weeks. The bipocalypse is coming this week right here. Six teams on bye, I believe. So check who your opponent has. See if you can block him. You can pick someone up. If you're in a league and you need a quarterback, just make sure that everybody in your league doesn't pick up quarterbacks to block you. That would be collusion. Not that that's ever happened.
But. Or just pick them up when the waivers go through and don't wait until the very end. Yeah. That was also what I did this week when I picked up Njoku because Missy needed a tight end. And then McBride was on a bye. And then it turned out tight ends got hurt, right? Who did you have, LSA, that got hurt?
LaPorta was hurt. He was out. LaPorta was out.
George Kittle was out.
Yeah.
I think Kincaid was out. So there was a bunch of them that ended up. I almost ended up dropping Njoku to pick up Taysom Hill and drop him. And I almost did it again because everybody needed him and they waited. So, so just don't wait. If you need somebody, get somebody this during the waiver wire on Tuesday night and then go from there. So, by the way, one more thing. Sorry. I am back on the quarterback roulette wheel this week. Joe Burrow, my boy, on a bye. So let's see who I come up with this week. I don't know. We'll see.
Hey, you want me to drop one of my guys so you can use them?
I'm probably okay with your guys.
Yeah. I think I'm gonna drop Kirk Cousins. Maybe you'll get the same luck.
Ooh, you know? Okay, I like that. Even I think he's on a bye too this week. So.
Is he?
For all of you listening right now or watching on YouTube, we have an eight person league. Okay, so we talk about dropping these high profile people. Maybe not Joe Burrow high profile, but we can do that sometimes because it's the best of the best in our.
Oh, you can drop Joe Burrow. That's all right.
all right, that's all we got. The fantasyfootballfools.com. Go check us out there or Fantasy Fools Pod on X. Let us know what you want us to do. You have a cool segment? Maybe we'll do it. Until next time, don't be a fool.
Go ahead and drop Joe Burrow. Everybody, just drop Joe Burrow.